What's up, guys, and welcome back to the Dad Podcast, hosted by myself, Sean Stafford. This is the place for everything fitness, fun, fatherhood, social media, a load of other cool stuff in between. And today, we don't even have Ollie in the studio. We've been upgraded. We've got Lewis in the studio. Say hey, Lewis.
Hey, Lewis.
That's Dad Bod Bants. And we have the man, the myth, the legend, the one and only, Ireland's finest.
I like it. Don't stop there, Sean Moore.
Mr. Paul O'Lima. Omega.
This is the one, pal. This is the one. How are you getting on?
Very good.
Good man.
You came in a bit of a furious like storm today. Oh, like Jesus. Mate, what has been going on for you today?
Today's just been, no, I'm just filming videos. Well, it's not a bad thing. It's just traveling after I got up this morning. I had like an ad to do for Instagram. Yeah. So I usually do my ad, and then I'll go into a gym, film loads of stupid ass videos. Yeah. So today I filmed loads of videos and then went to Brixton, filmed a skit about a Jamaican shop. It was fucking, so the Jamaican shop let us in, gave us free rein to do it.
What, like a Jamaican food shop?
Jamaican food shop, yeah. So it was brilliant. So me and my mate Terrell, do you know Terrell Lewis? Me and my mate Terrell, we went in, filmed that today, and and then just got home, had to take all the stuff off the hard drive, and now traveling here. But it's not too bad. It's not, I can't complain. People are doing 9 to 5s out there.
People are working in coal mines.
Yeah, this is it. And here I am. Oh, had to film funny videos all day.
Okay, so if I'm going to look at my list of, like, if I was to describe you, Ireland's finest, fitness model, PT,
God,
influencer, dad, what am I missing?
Wing it, somebody that wings it.
wings life.
Probably hype man. somebody that wings life perfectly. I don't know. Yeah.
So I think the first time I met you was at a casting for The Rock
the
movie.
Rock movie. Yeah, the, oh my God. Yeah.
The Hobbs and Shaw. And
you
it was
didn't
a,
come.
To, no, I was in India.
Mate.
Or maybe I just didn't get the call. Like,
mate,
I don't know.
I think you were meant to call. Mate, do you know, I got kicked off set that day, man, because I got my photo with The Rock.
This was for like the new Rock movie. We did a
Hobbs
casting,
and Shaw, yeah,
which was Hobbs and Shaw, which is actually a pretty good movie. I quite enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And I think we were either to play The Rock's workout buddies or like evil henchmen.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things that was like, whatever you do, like, don't look at The Rock in the eyes. And certainly don't get your phone out. And certainly don't call him Mr. Rock.
Yeah.
And I think you came away from the day with like a selfie with him, right?
Yeah, yeah. They were saying when we got there, they were like, all right, lads, make sure no phones allowed now. No phones. Make sure you put your phones away. I was thinking, I don't even care about the money here. If The Rock comes out, I'm getting a photo with him. And then I seen him and I went over to him and I went, mate, because like, I like when it comes to humans, like, you know, like I do body doubling with like great athletes stuff. And I never fan zone. But The Rock's been my idol since I was like 8 years of age, WWE, the whole way through.
Yeah.
And there he was in front. I says, don't worry, I got my phone straight in my pocket. The security guard's there running over. I was like, sorry, you've been my idol for my whole life. I says, give us a photo there. And he was lovely. He was like, he was bleeding. He's a gentleman. He didn't let me down. Do you know the way your heroes let you down?
Yeah. Never meet your heroes.
Yeah, that's what they say. But The Rock is all right.
He lived up.
He lived up to the expectation. And then after the security guards.
And then was it literally, yoink.
Now they try. I'm a big black man. He was like, give me that phone. I was like, no, you're not getting this phone.
You're like, all right, mate, you take this phone. Let's see how that works out for you.
Go on. Yeah. Mate, I was ready to die for that picture, bro. Probably never be used on that film set ever again. But I don't care.
Mate, your acting career is lying in tatters, but you've got that pic with The Rock. And I have seen it. I have seen it a few times popping up every now and again.
I do like to TBT it every 2 weeks or something like that. TBT being The Rock.
So, like, as you said, you're a big lad.
Yeah.
Compare you to like The Rock. Is he as big in real life as he looks in the movies?
No, that's the one thing that I was like, you've been lying to me. So they said in wrestling that he was 6'5".
Yeah.
And I'm 6'3" and I was taller than him. So I was like, you motherfuckers. That's what I was wondering. So I was like, you motherfuckers, you've lied to me my whole life, but his biceps were huge. He was definitely wider than me, but he wasn't taller. It wasn't you have to be taller, but it wasn't
a dick measuring contest.
But he let me down a little bit. He lied to me my whole life. I thought you were like, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Well, you used to play rugby, right? You used to be a semi-pro rugby player. And when I was playing, it was, you know, you had your program, had your program weights. So you had like your program heights and your program weights. Yeah. In the match program, it would be Paulo Lima, 6'3", 19 stone.
Yeah.
Like, mate, when we used to get weighed at the start of the season, we used to go to the gym beforehand and like get like the 1.25 kilo weights and put them in your pockets.
Exactly.
And when you're having your height done, you're tiptoes.
Yeah, that's mate, what I was saying.
I think my program weight was like 6'3" and like 96 kilos, mate. I've never been over 90 kilos in my life.
So that's what The Rock was doing. Sure. Do you remember in rugby? I remember there was a few lads borderline 98 kilo, and we call it the three number club. So if you didn't get over 100 kilo, you were like a softie in the club. So everybody that was like 97 used to always try and like wear loads of clothes or big boots when they were going onto the scales.
Just take something that's going to block them up, so they don't take a shit for 3 days.
Big load of shite in their ass. That's brilliant.
So your background, so you started off, you were a bit of a genetic sporting freak, right? You used to play
football,
semi-pro rugby, semi-pro football. I bet you're a bit of a gun at track and field. Have you always been sporty?
Yeah, always been sporty. So I think when I grew up in Dublin, and in Dublin I was like the only black kid for miles anyway, what I was really good at was sports.
Yeah.
And when I was playing football, everybody wanted to be like, instead of it, the black kid, they were like, oh, Pop, play, like knocking on my door to play football because I was brilliant at it. And I was real sporty and athletic. So I think I found out that the team sport is a great way to make friends.
Yeah.
So I think when I was like six, so I start around the corner with my local team scoring 7 goals a week, the manager, and then the son would be around, you know what I mean? And then it just grew up from there. But yeah, I think I was the same height and weight I am now when I was six or when I was like 12. So it was really easy for me in Ireland. And then when I was in school, I was playing rugby in school and I was smashing it. All the people I was smashing now play for like Ireland and Leinster.
Yeah.
But then I was playing football for a team called Shamrock Rovers, which are like a Premiership.
I've heard of them.
And I got offered a trial for West Ham over here. So I was like, fuck this shit. You know, fuck rugby. I'm going to go over.
Chasing the money, chasing the paycheck.
Yeah, and then West Ham trial didn't go as well as I wanted it. Went to Scunthorpe United, which is up north. I was there for a couple of months. Then like my match fitness was awful. Went down, I got sent to Bristol Rovers. Bristol Rovers ended up sending me to a team called Taunton Town to get fitness.
So I
lived in Bristol for a year waiting to go to play for Rovers, but they were like, we've seen you at Scunthorpe, we know you're good, but you're not fit. So you need fitness, put you in Taunton Town. Then pre-season, I stayed a whole year in Bristol. It was the same shit. Went to Dagenham and Redbridge, played reserves for 2 years, went to Barnet. So I was just thinking to myself, maybe I'm not that good at football. Maybe I'm pretty shit at football. I'm going to give rugby a go again.
Because
I was like, I was like, mate, I should be playing for Ireland right now. So that's when I went from football to rugby. And that was a bit of a crazy year of leg breaks and body parts that were just conditioned to it.
So what was it, literally took up rugby and then your body was like, you are having a laugh.
What are you doing here? It was my second year of rugby. I was okay. But the first year, I think chipped my clavicle, tore my pec, tore my tricep, broke my right leg. It was only the fibula, not the tibia. Ankles got like just my body apart. Was just not conditioned to taking hits.
What position did you play?
On the wing.
Yeah.
So I just get it and run and hopefully nobody could get me. But then as well, like, I was like, mate, I'll be playing in the Premiership in no time, because when it comes to athleticism, like, all I done was check numbers. Like, even NFL, I check numbers and I'm beating all these NFL players. So I'm thinking to myself, if I do these numbers in rugby, I'm going to smash it. But then in rugby, you have to be fit as well. You have to be able to run for ages and catch a ball and be in the right position. Do you know what I mean? So,
and robust. You have to be robust.
Yeah.
Unbreakable.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, so it was a bit different. So, yeah, I got to play like A-League for Harlequins, which was great just to play with a Premiership A-League club. But, and then it just dwindled from there again.
And so I guess that's when probably your sporting side of things maybe dropped off a little bit, and then you kind of picked up gym side of stuff,
right?
Massively. And was it like you go to the gym and you're like, this is what I've been missing?
But you find
that space where
it could be that I could just unleash hell on stuff. When I was 14, so when I started playing rugby in school, I was like smashing gym there. And when I was playing football, all the years I kept on getting bigger and bigger because I loved going to the gym, but they kept on saying the reason why you're not doing too well is you're too big. And I think I was like 88 kilo, 89 kilo, 90 kilo. And then we're doing running, do you know, like loads of running. And there's lads that are 60 kilo. Yeah. And they're like, why can't you keep up with him? I'm like, because he's 30 kilo less than me. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you try and push me off the ball.
This is it. Like, I can't run. But I think you need to run for football. So maybe that wasn't the best thing to do. Yeah. But then when I stopped playing rugby, when I stopped playing rugby, because you do a lot of weights in rugby, but I've noticed like I'm bigger than most rugby lads.
Yeah.
And that's because like they get injured, they can't go to the gym that much. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? They have to maintain.
And also during the season, it's not about,
it's maintaining. Yeah.
It's about performing on the weekend.
Exactly.
And not about gains.
It's
not about the gain train.
Yeah.
It's about, can you last 80 minutes injury free and perform at that level?
This is it. It's not about beach weights, bro.
It's not about beach weights, bro.
That's it. And that was my problem. Like, I think I love beach weights so much that when they gave me programming, I finished their programming. And then I do loads of curls. You know what I mean? I just couldn't.
Guilty.
That's it. Exactly.
There's a reason why I didn't last very long playing proper rugby. It's because
the face. Well, you didn't want the money.
This is the money. But it's also like my body was just brittle, and I worked out pretty early on that I enjoyed the gym almost as much as I enjoyed the field.
Oh wow!
Do you know what I mean? Okay. Like, it was when I got injured from playing rugby. It was one of those things where I was like, what do I miss more? Do I miss the week in, week out training on a Tuesday, training on a Thursday, game Saturday, Sunday? Or do I miss having to go to the gym every day, do my 45 minutes, 50 minutes of training for me?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, when I bust my shoulder, I was like, I can't train, and that kills me.
Yeah, that's the worst.
And so I was like, okay, maybe I should retire from rugby and take up bodybuilding.
Yeah. Fair play. And you done all right in the old bodybuilding, didn't you?
Did okay. But that's the thing. I think that's what a lot of people don't realise is, like, if you're playing relatively high-level sport and you are genetically quite athletic, naturally quite athletic, if you then put that same work ethic
into
something that's still physical and, you know, favours athleticism, like bodybuilding, gym training, chances are you can be pretty good at it.
Yeah, you're going to do well. And you can do well and do like work a business out of it as well. Do you know what I'm trying to say?
That's something that you do really well. So in terms of your training and your nutrition, what does that look like now? Because you're not playing sport.
No.
So what is your nutrition look like? Run us through that.
Yeah, so nutrition-wise, what I'll do now is like morning shake. What I try and do every day is hit 220 grams or so of protein every day. So that's my... like, that's my goal, and I know that'll take me 2 protein shakes and 4 meals.
Yeah.
So basically, I'm like 107 kilo now, and for me, like, I will go down to... I'll go down to 100 kilo like that. My body does not want to be 107.
Big.
No, it doesn't. Yeah. Like, if I don't eat that extra meal, I'll be 105, 104. Do you know, I'll just drop. You probably know.
I'm the same. Exactly.
Yeah. So right now, I say 220 grams of protein I need to get. So I wake up, protein shake, cereal, first breakfast, is where I get like maybe a 3-egg omelette or something like that, 3 slices of toast. After that, I'll have a lunch. Then I'll have a second, and then I'll go to the gym, come back, have my second lunch, then have my dinner. And then, and after the gym, I'd have a protein shake, second lunch, dinner, go to bed, eat snacks, eat as many snacks as I can just to keep the weight on. It's hard. It's not easy, bro.
Well, this is the thing. Like, there's so many people that are like, you know, how many calories are you on a day? And I'm like, mate, it's tough,
mate.
Eating is the hard bit. Training's the bit we enjoy.
Yeah.
But it's the eating enough calories and getting it from the right sort of nutrient dense food and trying to keep your protein levels up. That's where the hard work is. Yeah.
Mate, you want to see one of my mates, Adam Bishop? He's a world strongest man competitor.
Right.
He carries like a little fridge with him. So he's 154 kilo, I think.
Oh my god.
But he's competing against people that are 190. But what he has to do to keep his body weight is he has a fridge with like mince and rice all mashed up.
Yeah.
And he'll take out a packet and he'll start eating it. Like right now, as we're doing this, he'd have something here and he'd be eating it. It's bloody mad, like. And he has to do that.
It's because there's only 24 hours in the day, right?
Yeah.
There's only 24 hours in the day, and like you've got to be, you've only got so many opportunities, and you can't eat a 7,000 calorie meal.
Mate, exactly. This is it. But if you could, be wonderful. You know what I mean? Yeah. It'd be so stressless if you could just do that.
Just hook up to an IV of just calories.
Yeah, just going into your
just your zoo.
Sleep and
you
water.
Know, like, yeah. Like your zoo, like the chocolate milk.
Yeah. Just chocolate milkshake just going into your bloodstream while you sleep. That is golden. Mate, I'm doing a skit on that. I am doing it.
We might be onto a business idea here. The Gains IV.
The Gains IV drip of Mizzou going into your arm. That is fucking gold.
So what's your training looking like? How many times do you train a week? Is it kind of four, five,
Jesus.
Three,
yeah,
an
use,
hour?
Use,
of,
oh, Jesus
you
Christ.
Do you cardio at the moment? Yeah.
I'd be in a gym for around 2 hours and a half every time. I do. Let's say I go into a gym today and I have squat day. So I do a squat day where squat would can like let's say I do back squat, three heavy back squats, leg press, then I'll go, let's say, lunges. I'll work mainly the quads, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'll just quad it out, and then my deadlift day would be hammies.
Posterior chain.
I hit the hammies, and then it's weird. So I'd hit the hammies, the posterior chain lower, but then I'll leave my lats alone. And then I'll do a back day where I'll smash my lats out of it and stuff like that, because I never like doing deadlifts on back day.
So is it kind of like a bodybuilding split?
It's like a bro split, but it's just I love bro splits. Like I want to feel like I'm ruined. It's weird because when I want to get stronger and I get my like and I do my strength program and then I'm like, oh, okay, so I can walk out to gym and I'm not gonna hurt. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's not
it doesn't feel right.
It doesn't feel right.
Yeah. It's great. Yeah. It doesn't feel right at all. So that doesn't feel right at all because I'm a bodybuilder.
Yeah.
By heart, I know I'm a bodybuilder. So as much as I call it a power builder because I lift heavy stuff for three reps and stuff, but I don't think it's right leaving a gym without
feeling like you're destroyed.
Like
that meme of Leo going back to the Lamborghini in Wall Street. When he's done.
What's it called? Quaaludes.
When he's done 75 grams of ketamine or whatever. Yeah, the Quaaludes.
You want to
leave the gym like that every time.
Yeah, every time.
Because
that's
how you know you get results, because you know you're working hard and you're kind of leaving nothing to chance.
Exactly. And the people that do talk to me about like strength, like I know a lot of people that do strength training and stuff.
Yeah.
Because I'm a bodybuilder and like I can see their physiques and I'm thinking to myself, okay, yeah, but I don't want, it's weird because as much as I want to be strong, I also want to keep a physique in a certain way.
Yes.
But it's not like I go to get a physique, but I just know I can maintain my physique if I just do these extra things as well. That's the way it is. And I don't know, I kind of want, like, I have a, like kind of Zeus style thing in my head okay, that's the person I want to look like while I can lift heavy shit. Do you know what I'm trying to say? But that's the way it goes.
I'm actually, it's one of those things where this is the first time in my probably adult life that I've actually hired a trainer myself. So one of the coaches that work at my gym, he's a powerlifter.
Okay.
And I've hired him for a couple of months to get me stronger.
Oh, wow.
So I have a couple of sessions a week. I've outsourced all my programming to him.
Yeah.
Like January, February, March, I'm just going to see how strong I can get.
Oh, amazing.
Over deadlift, squat, and bench.
Ah, it's the main tree, eh?
Well, I just want to see, because I haven't done it.
Yeah.
And so, but I kind of know that my inner bodybuilder will be like, what are you doing?
Yeah, massively.
Like, look, what, you're not going to sneak in some curls here, bro?
Yeah.
Like, when are you going to do your pushdowns?
Your chest looking a bit flat, bro.
Yeah.
Mate, I'm telling you. When are you going to do your push down?
But it's kind of like I'm willing to sacrifice, and I've made that like
you are.
Conscious decision in my head to take a break back from the high volume stuff that kind of comes with the hypertrophy style stuff, and kind of go a little bit more into the strength and the intensification phase, just because. A, I want to learn something. I want to see how powerlifters train because I've never done it. But also, I think my body will
like you for it.
Will like me for it when I come to get shreds for summer again. Yeah. It'll probably lay a little foundation that's been good for you.
Yeah. Now that's fair enough.
I know what you're saying. I know I'm going to leave the gym like going, okay. So I just did like 4 reps on a squat my legs feel fine.
Yeah, feel fine. I could go again. I tried it for a week and I was just like, no, I cannot do this. If my like, it's weird because like I've done heavy deadlifts and heavy squats this week like an idiot. You know, you're not meant to do the two of them. And my CNS is absolutely shot. My erectors, my SI joints, I can just feel them like ready to explode. So I know like you're not meant to kill yourself like bodybuilders do kill themselves. But Jesus, isn't it hard? Yeah. It's hard when you go into a gym and you know what your body's capable of to just step back a little.
But you know what? I think that is what we were talking about earlier. I think that's the sportsman's mentality.
Okay, right, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because we leave nothing on the field. Playing, like you're all in, and I think it's that taking that approach to the gym is like it's just the way I think it's the way some people are wired.
Yeah, maybe.
But I think you almost need that to really hit that top level. Like you see sportsmen that you know take up gym like Stephen Ferris, Ireland ex-Ireland number 6. You know,
okay, yeah, yeah, oh
he's,
yeah, yeah,
he's
yeah.
He's a man mountain now,
monster.
Like
monster.
He's literally taken up gym and he's massive. Yeah.
It's the way it is, though, isn't it?
Well, look at Stringer. You know Peter Stringer?
Yeah. Well, he's banging gym as well, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, he's always been,
yeah. Maybe he's in great nick. He's actually on the podcast this weekend coming. Nice. And he's in shape and he's fit, and that's what he loves. Like,
mate, he could run all day. Yeah. I remember him. He just run. Gee, great man. Great nine he was. Those are the good old days. Him and O'Garrett was.
With Bod at 13, thanks for coming.
Ah, this is it. What a strong setup there. Yeah. Jeez, the Ireland of old.
We call that a miss one.
Yeah.
String to a guy and miss one. Yeah. Miss one
Darcy
to O'Driscoll.
Darcy wasn't even in the game.
Darcy on the death, like, shadow line.
Cleaning the rock, man. Yeah. That's what he's on. I know, brilliant stuff.
So this is the dad podcast, and obviously you've got a great dad bod.
Yeah.
In terms of kind of, you've got two kids, haven't
two
you?
Two kids,
so
yeah.
So how old are your kids?
I have a 10-year-old and a 1.5-year-old.
Yeah.
Amazing. Caramel and black Zeus. Caramel Zeus and baby Zeus, yeah. Amazing to do with them. Like, it's crazy. Well, my 10-year-old is like, she's smarter than me, and it scares me.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
She's like on TikTok, mate. It's just mad. This world that we live in is mad. Like, but it's just I can't believe that's my girl. Yeah, when
yeah,
I'm looking.
Yeah, yeah.
And then baby Zeus now, she's starting to. Like she couldn't move, she couldn't lift her head up, and now she's climbing up on couches and shit, you know what I mean? Yeah. It blows my mind. Like, what age is yours?
4 and a bit.
Okay, so
we put him on a bike, like a proper pedal bike for the first time this weekend, and he smashed it literally within 5 minutes, just off.
God.
Daddy, I don't need you, bye.
Love that.
Off. And God. I'm just like, me and my wife are looking at each other going,
who taught him that?
we didn't even buy him a helmet because I assumed that I'd be holding on to him for the first day.
Oh,
and then if he likes it, we'll go get him a helmet. Yeah, but he was just like, see you dad later.
See you later.
And
no helmet.
Off. Yeah, no.
Popping wheelies and all that on the back.
Well, this is it. We were just like, because we were filming it because we were so excited and to send to my parents and to put on IG and all that sort of stuff. And then we're like, the first thing my mum was like, where's his helmet?
Okay,
and I'm like, don't worry, we've got one now.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, we didn't expect him to just nail it.
Yeah, nail it in one. No, you got to post it. Don't worry about the helmet. Yeah. Snowflake shit.
but that's it, isn't it? It's kind of like, I didn't expect him to just, at 4 years old, pick up a bike and go. And at 18 months,
yeah,
you probably
it.
Can't remember what it was like the first time round.
No, not at all. I've forgotten.
18 months onwards.
Yeah.
Is when it starts to get
picking
real fun.
Up, yeah.
Yeah.
This is what I was thinking. Because the first 6 months, let's not lie, it's a bleeding nightmare.
Yeah.
I love
six,
my kid.
Six months?
First 6 months. Was
6 months?
Or maybe a year.
Yeah. we'll take that 6 months and we'll raise you 6 months.
6 months. Yeah.
It's definitely like, I know that, and especially from a dad's point of view, it's, I think the first 12 months is tough because with the breastfeeding, with the feeding, and with the, you know, they don't really do much, and they don't really give a lot back.
Yeah, their babies. Yeah, yeah.
And they didn't grow inside you.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like.
Yeah, but for the first 6 months of baby's use, like I'd done like the night shifts and I would have to bring her to Megan done quite good. Baby's use mom done quite a lot. Like, as well, it was hard, but like I make sure, like it's weird. I kind of wanted to step into the mother's role.
Yeah,
it's weird. Like I love being hands on. Yeah. I love, like, if she had to do something, like I wanted to do it. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like a feed as well. Like, do you know what I mean? I don't know. I think gone are the days of where dads did fuck all. Do you know what I mean?
Correct. Well, mate, they are still out there, but I think most guys that they want to be part of their kid's life, and they want to roll their sleeves up and get involved. And I think that's kind of like the modern dad is a little bit more hands on. But I still see loads of people that are just
shite
like,
dads. And yeah, I know, yeah, I'm not going to lie, they're terrible. Yeah, yeah. Sorry, one of my mates there, I was back home in Ireland, and he goes to me, he goes, oh, I come home from work at 7 and I try to put the baby to bed, but she says, don't touch the baby. So I don't touch the baby and she puts the baby. I'm like, what? And he goes, and then the mum told me one weekend that she was going to do it, that I didn't have to do it, something about changing a nappy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, have you changed a nappy yet? He goes, I haven't changed a nappy 6 months.
What?
I goes, are you joking? And I goes, you're a shite dad. And he didn't like it. He went mad. I was like, mate, you're a fucking, if you haven't changed your baby's nappy in 6 months, you're a shit dad.
Yeah.
That's the end of it. There's nothing else into it. Like, do you know what I mean?
End of story.
End of story. You are a shit dad. Oh, I give money. That's great that you give money. Your kid, you don't change your kid's bloody nappy. You're a shit dad. Sorry, man. Sorry.
No, it really gets to me.
Like, no, shit. Like, you have to get involved.
Yeah, no, I think
you made it as well. Like, you know.
It's 50-50, right?
Big time.
And so in terms of like, because now you're quite a big kind of social media personality, influencer, content creator. Like how's having a kid and like, I don't know the ins and outs of the relationship with the baby mama.
Yeah.
Like has social media and like your view around having a kid in social media, how does that play out?
Yeah. So yeah, at the start, I don't know. It's just, I think because I've always, like before, like I was doing social media, I was doing Snapchat stories with Caramel Zeus. So when Snapchat was big back in the day, I was on Snapchat.
When was
Snapchat.
That, like
2014? Quite ages ago. Anyway, yeah, but I'd do it with like Caramel Zeus, like having a laugh like with her and stuff like that. I think I just carried on. I've never changed. I don't know where Instagram followers came from.
Yeah.
Because it's not like I went and tried to look for her. I started doing a niche, or do you know what I mean? Or anything.
Yeah.
I think I was throwing water balloons at pigeons one time. Something called Pigeon Wars. Sorry about that. And anyway, they used to shit on my car, so I used to get water balloons and throw them at the pigeons when they were on my roof. And I think I went up like 15,000 people in like a week from, do you know what I mean?
Yes.
So it was weird, but like the people that came in were all like, lads, do you know what I mean? And I think it's kind of, my Instagram kind of rose in that way, which is great, because I don't have, it's not like it's loads of people that are getting offended by stuff, because they know who I am from the start, do you know what I mean?
You're pretty consistent.
Yeah, that's it. I've been a prick since the start.
To be fair to you, it's one of those things where you are what you are, and like you, and I don't think you're being disingenuous.
No, man.
In any way. Like, I think, do you think that when you were throwing water balloons at pigeons and you got such a reaction and you saw such growth and it was kind of that positive, like that positive reinforcement from Instagram.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That you're like, wow, this is growth. This is good. This is likes. This is views.
Keep on doing it.
Yeah. Did it egg you on?
No.
It didn't egg you on?
No. So I think that's the problem where I feel like I see people like put like, oh, micro influencer. And even when you called me all that stuff, I was like, oh, it still makes me.
Doesn't sit right.
It makes me feel sick a little.
Really?
It's not like,
why?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. The word influencer just makes me like, who am I to influence somebody else into doing something? I feel like that. I feel like when somebody says, oh, I'm an influencer, they're trying to say they're on a bigger pedestal than another human.
Do you think that's what it is?
Yeah, and it just makes me feel sick, because all humans are the same. Like, I treat, as I say, Anthony Joshua, I body double for him, Usain Boltman, I treat them the exact same way as I treat the lad that I've just met today, just walking into the room, there would be no different. No, just because you kick a ball better, you punch somebody in the head better, and you are born because your mum gave you and dad gave you genetics to make you 6 foot. Unless you're the Rock, right? You are just a normal human, right? So basically, and that shit just really gets to me. So it's not.
Would you call yourself a content creator instead?
A video creator. Yeah, that likes editing videos. Yeah. That's what I say. So when people say, what's your job? Even though my job is mainly posing, I always go, I get paid for doing stuff on social media.
Yeah, I'm in social media.
Yeah. The last thing I'll ever say is influencer. Yeah. Or I skate around it as much as I can. Because just I feel like as soon as you say that, people think of you in a certain way. That's it.
I 100% understand that. I think influencer has been quite a dirty word, and I think like a lot of the guys and girls that kind of are shy some of their morals to sell stuff.
Do you know what I mean?
When it's not authentic, when they're selling a tea or selling something that they don't use just for a quick pound.
I do ads as well.
Yeah, but you hashtag ad it. And I think with your ads as in...
I have a laugh at them because they know who I am as a person already. Yeah, yeah.
They fit in with your with your brand, as you call it. And like, I think if somebody offered you some money to sell something that you didn't really...
Stocks.
Believe,
FX trading,
boom, whatever. Do you know what I mean? You tell them to go take a run and jump. And I think that is probably, a reflection of where the industry is going. I think a lot of genuine content creators are now looking at it from a point of view of, what will my audience think of me if I take this step? Or does it feel natural for me to take it? And would I be able to sleep as well at night? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm hanging around with like a load of lads that are like very like big on Facebook. I'm doing Facebook videos with them, and they don't do ads because ads run through their Facebook, and they make like 40 grand a month without having to do ads because they're getting the views on. Yeah, it's mad.
What now?
Yeah, 40 grand a month. So, some of the lads are doing 40 grand.
Euro?
mate, it's just crazy. So I'm looking at them, and like they have millions of followers on Facebook, but they're like, mate, we don't run ads. We don't have to sell our souls. We can just be ourselves on videos, and then it goes up. It's not probably like YouTubers. I don't know.
Yeah.
But they probably are the same way, where YouTube just run the ads through their stuff, so they don't have to sell their souls while they're doing it, man. And I think that's the way. Hopefully, that's the way I want to get myself to a stage where I can do that. But keep your sponsorships that are your part of your brand as well on the way. But yeah.
So in terms of like you kind of developing in this social media space, like are you and Megan are no longer together?
Yeah, no.
Did social media and like, I know from personal experience, I've been married 10 years.
Yeah.
And I know that when I got Insta famous, did it put pressure on my relationship?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
When you've got, people sliding into DMs, and it's even when she's got people sliding into her DMs it puts pressure
on the relationship.
Did that kind of contribute to
the breakup? No. It's just, I think me and Megan were coming to a time where it was, I'm a bit of an eccentric, logical, do you know what I mean? And she's very spiritual, do you know what I mean? And I think we just came to a head where it was like, okay, you're that sort of person, I'm this sort of person. Right. And then we just kind of ended that way. But it was nothing like we're like mates, like I text her every day.
Yeah.
She was so civil with the kid, like, do you know what I mean? It's great. Like I get to see my kid all the time. Yeah. Even if Megan's around there, she'd go, here, the kid's here.
Yeah.
If Megan want to come around when I have the kid, I'd be like, here, do you know what I mean? So it's like lovely. Like it's lovely. Like it's not in no bad way. Like, but yeah, that's just, it's a bit of a weird one, but.
Yeah.
Cause like you loved your missus to bits, do you know what I mean? But when it comes to it in the end, I don't think
you've got to kind of do what's right for your own happiness.
This is especially
having a kid, like you'd rather be authentic to your feelings.
Yeah.
And I know so many people that have, they grew up in sort of homes that were, the parents hated each other.
Yeah. Okay.
And they pick up on that, and it's one of those things where they kind of wish their parents had
Yeah, yeah,
gone their separate ways because at least then they'd both be happy and they'd know the score. And, you know, so I think there's a certain amount of courage involved in that
So I know,
to be true to yourself and to
appreciate it, I think, like Megan was the one that was like, right now, this is not fucking working for me right now because you're a bit of a dope, you know what I mean? I think that's the way she felt. Like, I was a bit of a dick.
She just didn't find all your Bird Box videos funny. She's had enough of your stupid bands in One London.
Come on, Megan, more videos. You've got to film this. Craziness, but it was just a bit of a thing. But it's great now. Like, I think, like, both happy and stuff like that. And the kid, the best thing is the kid's bleeding, smiling. I think that was the worst part about it all, knowing that the kid wouldn't be. Do you know what I mean? I wouldn't wake up to see my daughter every day. Because every morning I'd run in 7 a.m. There she was, big smiley head in her. But now it's like every 2 days, and you know what I mean. But it's okay. It's getting used to it.
Yeah, I was gonna say, it's just a. It's a shift, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a shift, but it's okay. It's life, man. You get on with it. Yeah.
And you got the biggest, and you probably got the biggest smile out of anybody in the room.
This is it. Yeah. But that's what I was always saying. I think I got, I don't know how many messages when it was all happening. Thousands. I'm talking about now.
DMs or messages?
DMs and messages and all. Yeah.
But, so you're
No. But and they were all asking, and I was just like, Jesus Christ, like. I'm not like I live in London. Yeah. I have two beautiful daughters. I have, do you know what I mean? I have money in my account. I can eat when I want. I was like, Jesus, like, I'm all right. Don't worry about me. Do you know what I mean? My girlfriend, people, like, your girlfriends break up with them and they're crumbling. I'm like, will you get a grip of yourself? I can't handle the snowflakeness of it all. But do you know what I mean? You just have to carry on. Do you know what I mean? This is it.
And the fact that it's an amicable relationship is a definite win.
Yeah, like, I'd send her a message now saying, hi, how are you getting on? I am grand. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's all you need. It's not like fucking people want to kill each other or we've done something wrong to each other. Do you know what I mean? But, so yeah, it's all good.
Yeah. And in terms of like kind of your content and where it's going, you do a lot of funny videos.
Yeah.
What's kind of your outcome? So like, if I was to ask you like in a year's time, what is it going to look like? What's your day? What's your job going to look like?
Basically, what I'm doing now is I'm doing like ads and being sent like to...
Mate, don't ruin that straw. You're going to need that straw for later. Man,
sorry. what's happening later, bro? Oh, we'll see. Right. As it is now, it's like I have 30 videos filmed, ready to go onto Instagram.
Yeah.
If I can make my Instagram, like, I'm nearly at it at Facebook, so Facebook ring me now about getting my 3 minute videos there so I can start running my ads and stuff like that through there. And like, I have a great manager who's sorting me out and getting me onto TV and stuff, which is amazing. Like, when you get on to like do little things with TV, it's brilliant. And with me Instagram, I just want to have it all stupid ass videos I don't want it. Like, sometimes I see an exercise and I'm like, that is the stupidest exercise in the world. Why would you do that? So what I want to do is, if somebody fucking does do something like that, be able to just take the piss out of them. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just like slapstick. I just want to bring a bit of laughter. I don't want people to take shit serious.
It's comedy,
yeah,
right?
This is it.
You want to be like a 6'3" Kevin Hart of Instagram.
That's it. 6'3" Kevin Hart of Instagram. That's it, man. And then you never know, when you start doing stuff like that, other things open. Do you know what I mean? And like, right now, there's like, I can't say right now, but in a few days, like, there's another thing that's just open.
So we're not going out straight away. So you'll be in a month. So probably by the time this podcast comes out, what you're talking about might have already been out.
Okay, so should I say it?
If you want.
Okay,
You don't have to, but if you want to, you can.
I'll leave.
You'll leave it for now. We almost had a podcast exclusive.
But like, there's little things that are, like, doors are open because people are like, this fella's a weirdo because I'm a bit weird, or I like doing, and then like brands that I might have been cut from doing certain brands, but then other brands are like, that's exactly what we want. So then they'll use you for that.
You find your way.
This is it. You'll find your way in life if you just do what you love. Do what you love and you'll never work a day in your life. Except for today, when I was fucked after around 20 videos, but yeah.
But I think that's probably a great place to kind of wrap this podcast up. You know, you've been an absolutely incredible guest.
Cheers, boy.
Magical voice. I love that Irish accent. It is a cracker. Cool. And there's been a couple of Coronas sitting on, and it doesn't have to be Corona. It can be any beverage. Sure. But one of your things is was it Neck Pints Bang Gym?
Neck Pints Bang Gym, that's the way, yeah.
And so I thought it would be a great time to... When was the last time you did a Strawpedo?
I'm not going to lie to you, probably when I was around 19. A blue wicked though, not a bleeding bottle.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, it's a WKD, like some Smirnoff Ice in a, and something like that. So I thought...
So I was going to bang gym after this. But
well, I was going to say, I know you're banging gym, so yeah. I thought we might as well neck pints.
Exactly, well, hey.
Neck pints. I haven't had a Strawpedo since I was probably about, oh my God, mine's already fizzing.
Cheers, boy.
1 second. Cheers, boy.
Cheers, boy.
For the win!
He coughed.
I just beat a lemur.
I'm necking
a pint. I forgot how bad that was. Yeah, here's a little disclaimer. Strawpedos are not for the win. If any of you guys listening to this have enjoyed the magical Irish tones of Mr. Paul Lemur, where can they find you on social media?
Instagram is olima_omega, TikTok olima_omega, Facebook olima omega. Lovely.
You keep it really simple.
If you want to find me,
That has been an absolute pleasure to have you on the show today. Thank you. I'm sure all the people that listen will really find that interesting, and I think they'll go to your channel and they'll watch your videos and they'll get a lot from it. It's a very very funny place to be. If you guys have... There's me burping through the mic. all that beer.
Oh my God.
All that beer is coming up. If you guys have enjoyed this podcast,
sorry,
please.
Hold on a second. Before we stop, can we just have a look at his glass there? Because I feel like he hasn't finished it.
Hold up. That was it's just the bubbles of mango. It's the bubbles. It's a lot of bubbles. For any of you guys listening that have enjoyed this, please get involved with the podcast and leave us a rating, leave us a review. The more people that leave ratings and reviews, the more people will see this podcast. The higher up the charts it will climb, and the more fun we can have with it. Paul, you have been an absolute superstar. Lewis, thank you for sitting in with us today. Thank you to the guys at Runway East for hosting. And thank you most of all to you guys for listening. So from this episode of the Dad Podcast, I'm Sean Stafford, and I will see you next time.